I asked for your attention this evening. We have a really different story, but I want to begin this way. I want you to really contemplate and ask yourself this, and you may have no idea in the world what I'm talking about, but I hope you do before I'm through tonight. But ask yourself, am I a heel grabber? Are you a heel grabber? Anyone here a heel grabber? Everyone heard that preached on before? Did you know we're inclined to be heel grabbers? Now, you know, it's a kind of a common joke, and in fact, it's the fodder of comics about the household. You have a dad and a husband, and he finds out the faucet's leaking upstairs, and some men are handy men with that, and a lot aren't. And so dad announces to the family, "We got a leak, and I'm going to go fix it." And the family begs him not to. And he goes to fix the leak, and pretty soon there's an artesian, and the sheetrock's coming off the walls, and someone says, "We've got to call the plumber now." Dad tried to fix the plumbing, and what was just a little drip has become a very expensive problem. That's heel grabbing. You say, "What in the world are you talking about?" Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to fix something like my illustration, and you only made it far worse? You can move past the comic now. I just wanted you to see the water coming. Okay. How many's ever tried to fix something and you made it far worse? What about with relationships? Have you ever tried to help a relationship and made the relationship worse? How many has seen a time in your life, instead of turning to God and letting God work the thing out, you took matters into your own hands, thinking you could fix it, and it got worse and worse and worse? We're introduced to a new character tonight. His name is Jacob. Jacob tried to make things happen in his favor. He used self-effort. He used deceit. He used lying instead of turning to God, trying to make the thing happen in his behalf, in his favor. And the only thing he did was make a mess of things that was very difficult to get out of. Now, before we get into his life, I want to tell you where we're at in this study, this Faith Like the Fathers. We're going to leave the life of Abraham tonight, and we're going to begin the life of Jacob. How many say, "No, wait a minute, we skipped somebody"? Isn't there Isaac between Abraham and Jacob? I'll tell you in a moment why we're skipping Isaac. But first of all, we left our story last week when Isaac and Rebekah got married. And in the Bible, we then have the death of Abraham before we have the story of Isaac and Jacob. But I want to make clear, the Bible was just finishing the biography of Abraham. But Abraham did not die yet as far as the chronology of Isaac and Jacob. Did you know there's a New Testament verse that says that Abraham dwelled in tents with Isaac and Jacob? So Abraham is about 140 when Isaac got married. And 20 years later, Jacob was born, and Abraham lived to the age of 175. So for the first 15 years of his life, Jacob could call out and talk to Grandpa Abraham. And so Jacob is still in the story. Abraham's still in the story even when Jacob comes on the scene. Why are we going to skip Isaac? Well, first of all, very little is in Scripture about Isaac. And it wasn't that he's bad. Actually, Isaac was a really good person. Here's the reason, though, there's not much said about him. He just lived a boring life. He's already rich. He's already accomplished. But sadder than that, Brother Bill, there's no real spiritual conquest in Isaac's life. No great encounters with God. No great experiences with God. And yet everything indicates that Isaac was a really godly person. He had one little sin in his life. He lied like his father did about his wife. And yet this good moral person, no great spirituality. I'm only going to mention this about Isaac. We're going to move on. Isaac's a picture of a second generation Christian. Abraham's a first-generation Christian. He was a pagan. He came to know the Lord, but he raised his son in church. And his son had the doctrine, his son had the morality and the character, but his son Isaac had no great spiritual encounters and experiences. That is so typical of second-generation Christians. Your mom and dad came out of sin. They got wondrously saved and converted. You're second generation. You're used to church. You're used to the things of God. You've really not had to seek God. You've never really had to have an experience of coming out in the world. So you're good. You're godly. You got good doctrine, but not much going on spiritually. How many knows we're living with second generation Christianity? And that was Isaac. The sad thing is Isaac was the inheritor of everything Abraham had, including the covenant, the promise, the blessing. Let's look at just a few verses, and I'm going to tell a very short story tonight. So if you get this tonight, you've got to stay right on a bandwagon. We're going to talk about heel grabbing. Verse 24, and when Rebekah's days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. These are fraternal twins. Verse 26. And after that came his brother out. And this is Jacob. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. He gripped his heel. And his name was Jacob. And get this. This is important to the story. Isaac was 70 years old when Rebekah bare them. Isaac was 60 years old. How old was Isaac when he got married? That was last week. How old was he? 40 years old. Do you see what has happened? Isaac and Rebekah, they get married. They're in love. They got married for the purpose so Abraham could have a grandson and know that his blessing, his covenant was going to go on through his descendants. And so they get married, Isaac and Rebekah. First year, no child. Second year, no child. Third year, no child. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. 20 years they waited for a child. Does that sound like anything else? Abraham and Sarah had the same thing. Promised a child, and yet a child doesn't come. But the scripture is clear that when Isaac saw that it appeared his wife was never going to have a baby, I love this language of scripture. It says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Don't you like that word, entreated? Pleaded with God. Prayed to God. He prayed to the Lord for his wife. And then listen to what the scripture said. And the Lord was entreated of him. Our young people are about to go to youth camp, and that may be an old word, but that's a great promise. Isaac entreated the Lord, and the Lord was entreated of him. How many knows, not only can we talk to God, but he receives our prayer. He was asking God for a child, for Rebekah. I mean, that was everything in that culture. Did you know at that time, a married woman was considered valueless if she couldn't produce a child? We don't know. It might have been Isaac's infertility. We don't know that. But in the Bible times, a woman was absolutely nothing without a child. And yes, Isaac wants a child, but notice his concern for his wife. He entreated the Lord for his wife. God, give her a child so she can feel valuable and so she can know your love for her. Now, here's the thing. Rebekah becomes expectant. But immediately, just not too long into that expectancy, and things, this is a scripture story, things went wild in her womb. Don't tell Hollywood, they'll make a reality series out of that too, but things went wild in her womb. I mean, she waited all this time to become expectant. Finally, she's expectant, and things are just crazy. In fact, the Scripture implies, the language does, that she was suffering from this constant tremendous amount of movement. And she went to the Lord and said, Lord, why am I experiencing this discomfort? This is supposed to be a blessing from you. This is supposed to be a gift from you. And yet I've got all this turmoil going on in my womb. And God spoke to her. He said, the reason you're having all this conflict in your womb is because this is pre-ultrasound. But God knew. God said, you have twins. But he didn't put it that way. He didn't say you have two boys or two embryos in your womb. He said you got two nations in your womb, two people groups in your womb. God spoke to her and said they're very, very different. And one will be stronger than the other. And the younger will be master over the older. You see, God was already showing that in spiritual things, in blessing, in covenant, there's always going to be a struggle. If you're here tonight and you've come to church and you've got a struggle in your mind and your heart, there's always going to be that struggle for those who want to please the Lord and have the Lord's blessing and follow the Lord. There's still going to be the struggle. And it was there, and I'm already applying. I shouldn't be applying yet. The two embryos are struggling against each other. They're pushing. Why? Because they're trying to each get the best position. They're vying over the best position. And then the day, I mean, that went on for however many months. And then the day came when the twins were born. And the first came out extremely hairy. Other babies are, and there's certainly nothing wrong with red hair, but it's just showing how different they were. The first had red hair all over it, and they called him Esau. Did you know Esau had two other names that come from Esau? Edom. How many's read of the Edomites? Edom means red. And then the Edomites lived at a place they named Mount Seir. Remember that? Seir means hairy. So he really was red and hairy, because even his descendants were called the red ones. And where they lived was called the hairy place. I mean, that's just the way it was. We just read the word Seir, but that's what it was. But then as he's just about out of the birth canal, the other twin reaches out and grabs his heel and locks on. So everyone say, well, this is great. He's here, he's here, he's here. And Jacob has a hold of his heel. So they named him. How many heard that Jacob means deceiver? That is a step away from the meaning. The literal meaning of Jacob is heel grabber. How would you like to explain that? What's your name? Heel grabber. Right. Thank you, Eden. She thought that was funny. So quickly tonight, we're going to look at the truths from this story, but let me tell you what heel grabbing is. Heel grabbing is taking hold of things in your life and trying to get them to turn out the way you want them to. Heel grabbing is to get a hold of things of your life and trying to get them to turn out the way you want them to turn out, rather than leaving God, trusting God to work in your life. Here's the truths tonight. Number one from our story. We often find ourselves in circumstances that demands God's supernatural involvement for his plan to be fulfilled in our lives. I know that's long, but it's important. We find ourselves in circumstances that demands God's supernatural involvement for his plan to be fulfilled in our lives. You see, the question is, why did Isaac and Rebekah have to wait 20 years to have a baby? They could have had a child 9, 10, 11, 12 months after they were married. Why did God have them wait for 20 years? Because if they had had a baby right off, and even in the first few years, there'd been no miracle to it. It would just been the natural course of things. It would just been their product of just life. But waiting 20 years and then having a child, now they can tell that this child wasn't just a regular natural, or these children, I should say, were not just regular natural outcome, but that God had intervened to give them a child. And therefore, Jacob and Esau were the product of God's supernatural intervention. God waited through these years of infertility, just like Abraham and Sarah, so that when the child finally came, they could see that there are times that we need God to supernaturally work in our lives to bring about His promises and His covenant with us. I want to tell you, folks, nothing has changed. We can do many things on our own, and we should. We can take care of some things ourselves, and we should. But in the end, if God's blessings and God's covenant with us comes to pass, we need His supernatural involvement and intervention. I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you've noted God's supernatural involvement in your life? It's got to be. It's got to be. Things don't just happen of their own natural channels and accord. Here's the second truth tonight. We must not just sit back and leave it all to God. Now you say, you seem to be contradictory. You said there's some things that only God can do and we can't do. And now you're saying we must not just sit back and leave it all to God. So which is it? Well, the thing is, they couldn't have a baby on their own. But Isaac just didn't wave the white flag and said, we can't have a child. We might as well forget it and give up. Isaac began to pray. He couldn't produce the child, but he could pray to God who could produce the child. Amen. The lesson is there are things that we have no control over. There are things we cannot change. But we are not to surrender. We are to pray. How many knows there are so many things that God wants to do, but He has determined to do those things. I mean, God could do them if we didn't pray, but God has chosen to do things when we pray. I believe there's things God's already got lined. Listen to me. How many hears me tonight? I think there's things God's already got lined up to do for us. He's just waiting till we pray. Amen? And listen, that's why it's so disturbing to me as pastor when I can look out at a congregation and I notice people aren't praying like they used to. Individuals that used to just get in the altar and see God and pray, I notice they're not praying in the altars. They're not seeking God. Why is it so disturbing? Because there's things God wants to do in your life. But He has chosen to do those things when we pray. And then here's another truth tonight. We may still face tremendous struggle even when God is supernaturally bringing about His will in our lives. We may still face tremendous struggle even when God is supernaturally bringing about His will in our lives. These twins, Brother Adams, were the result of God's supernatural intervention. That was God at work. And yet, even Rebecca shows her discouragement. She says, if this is really You, God, why is this so troubling? God moves in our lives, and yet we struggle. As Rebecca had a struggle in her womb, we have a struggle in our heart. Did you know, and we're going to tell this story another night, but did you know the struggle in her womb became the struggle in their home and ultimately became a struggle in the world? The Edomites mixed in with the Ishmaelites, and we still have those two. The struggle in the womb became the struggle in the home, became the struggle, and yet that struggle was evidence that God was at work. I've seen this over and over, and people don't understand at first. They make a push to know God. They begin to let God work in their lives. They feel the call of God to a closer walk, and God is moving, and God is blessing. And yet, before they get home, they get bad news. Somebody says something to them. And I've heard people ask me, why is it that when I'm trying to get close to God and He's moving in my life, why is it that there's such a fight? Maybe I didn't get anything from God. Maybe God's not moving. No, it has always been that way. Even when God is moving, there's going to be a struggle. And we're going to learn, we're not going to do it tonight, but we're going to learn that's because, yes, God moves, He saves us, we're a new creation, but we still have an old nature to deal with, right? We're the people of God, but we still live in a fallen world. God is moving our life, but Satan is fighting that. Even when we're in God's will, there will be a struggle. And the last truth tonight from this story, we must not think that we can make the plan for our lives happen by our own will and power. Oh, It's so dangerous when we take things into our hands and make those major decisions of our life, thinking that we can really forge our own way and make God's plan happen for our lives and bring about the good things all on our own and under our own steam. You see, in this story, we have a precursor of what's to come. Jacob is always trying to get into the better position by his own effort. And even coming out of the womb, Esau has exited first, and I'm not trying to in any way be indiscreet or too vivid, but Esau has exited first from the womb, but he is not completely out of the birth canal when he stopped because Jacob had grabbed hold of his heel. What was Jacob trying to do? Now, I know it wasn't cognitive, but it was a precursor and a picture of what Jacob would be doing all his life. And the scripture sees it as such. Jacob is, as it were, not consciously, but as it were, Jacob gets a hold of Esau's heel and says, "You're not going to be first. I'm going to be first." And literally, he's trying to pull Esau back into the womb so he, Jacob, can exit first. Because why? The one to exit first, he is the one that gets the birthright. He's the one that gets the blessing. He's the one that gets the leadership of the family. He's the one that all the attention's on. And again, it's not cognitive, it's just a picture. But Jacob grabs his heel and says, "I'm going to make myself be first." Now, here's the point, and we'll have to come back to this again in the story of Jacob. God has already determined that Jacob is going to be first. And God's determined that Jacob's going to get the birthright. And God's determined that Jacob's going to receive the covenant blessing. But Jacob's trying to make it happen on his own. And he almost the rest of his life, Jacob suffers heartache, headache, and trouble because he keeps trying to, by his own power, position himself where God wants him to be instead of letting God do it. When we grab hold of our lives, we grab hold of our decisions, we grab hold of our future and say, "I'm going to make it happen. I can do this," instead of letting God work it out, we're a heel grabber and we're in for a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. Amen. Just like Jacob was. Amen. We grab hold of things, refuse to let them go in our effort to get ahead. That's what he was trying to do. He grabbed hold of Esau. He's going to get ahead of Esau. But we only make things worse. And the struggle goes on and on and on. Now, look, I'm going to go through the whole story in one sentence. Jacob came out being a heel grabber. The rest of Jacob's life, God is trying to get Jacob to let go of things and to get a hold of God. When was Jacob's life changed? When he let go of the heel and he got a hold of God and wrestled with God. And really, that's what's happening in our lives. God is trying to get us to let go of the heel. We grab hold of this and we grab hold of that promise of the world and we grab hold of that hope of the world and we grab hold of this effort. We're going to make it happen in our lives. We're going to get the best out of life. And the whole time God is trying to get us to let go of the heels we're grasping and just get a hold of him and wrestle with him until he changes our life. How many knows that's what happened to Jacob? He finally let go of the heel, and he got a hold of God. And it's then he got to the place that God could bless him the way he wanted to be blessed. Here's the take-home truths. First of all, pray. It was impossible for Isaac and Rebecca to have a child. It's just not going to happen on their own. But Isaac prayed, and he prayed for his wife. Pray, pray. How many knows we just need to pray more? Real quick here, how many knows there's some impossible things that just are not going to happen by human effort? It's going to take God's involvement. How many knows that with our church family, your family? But we can do some. We can pray. Let me see your hands, if you'll pray for these Sunday services. I can't save anybody. I can't make someone come to the altar. How many's going to pray? What about youth? Are you going to pray that you'll encounter God at youth camp? How many's going to pray that you'll encounter God at youth camp? You going to pray? Encounter God at youth camp. Amen. Next take-home truth. Leave God's part to God. A heel grabber is someone trying to make it happen on his own. Let God do what only God can do. Amen. And then another take-home truth. Remember, a struggle doesn't mean God isn't at work. That's what Rebecca assumed. She said, if this were of God, why would I be having such pain and discomfort? But actually, that was God at work. I've seen God at work in the church, and the struggle starts when God gets to moving. And then last take-home truth, do right and leave it to God to make it right. We're going to see from Jacob's life, since he tried to do it by himself, he kept doing things wrong. You cannot do things wrong and it turn out right. Right? And he did wrong things because he didn't leave it to God. He said, I've got to make this happen. But when Jacob began to do right and leave it to God to make it right, then it happened. So let's summarize real quickly tonight. Are we heel grabbers? Are we going to make this thing happen the way we want it to happen? Or are we going to let go and get a hold of God and let Him make it happen? Could you stand? Father, thank you for your word once again. Lord, help us to trust you, to realize, Lord, you're at work even in the struggle, even in the battle we feel on the inside. You're at work, and your plan's far bigger than what we understand at the moment. Help us to trust you, Lord. Lean on you and believe you. Amen. We're going to come pray. I'm sure Sister Tricia has a good song about heel grabbing. But there are some good songs about getting a hold of God. How many's ready to let go some heels and get a hold of God? Amen. Could you come? Let's pray. Praise the Lord.
Keep nothing back from you. I guess I've tried most everything. There's nothing left to do. I've exhausted all my efforts, tried to do things my own way. But here I stand before you now, wanting just to say, keep nothing back from you. I guess I've tried most everything. There's nothing left to do. I've exhausted all my efforts, tried to do things my own way. But here I stand before you now, wanting just to say, control right now. Try me, Lord, and see. I take down the defenses and I tear down all the walls. All the secret things I thought I kept from you, I give you all. Dude.